If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
If you know anyone who was born between the year 1981 to 1996, or maybe someone born in the early 90s to the mid-2010s, they're probably a Gen Z or a millennial. And the reason why we want you to either turn your speaker up or just pay attention to the content that will be shared is that I want you to pay attention to their spending behavior. This is typically in the age group of people under the age of 35. What do you witness? What do you see? What are they spending on? But most of all, how do they access that money? Potentially credit. But someone who knows all about this and is going to share some of the research findings with us is the CEO of TransUnion Africa, Lee Naik. Lee, it's been a while. Such a pleasure to have you back on Kaya Biz.
Thank you for having me back, Agathe.
Always an exciting time to have a conversation here, especially when it comes to the latest reports on credit demand and who is actually using credit. And maybe let's just start again by contextualizing credit, right? It's not a bad thing. It's actually a great tool to actually access the resources, the opportunities that you need, but does certainly require the discipline in order to pay it off adequately.
Absolutely. I think the reality is that if we just rely on what we have at our immediate disposal in our pockets and our bank accounts, there is so much we can go. Credit is a mechanism that allows us to create leverage for us to build up that small business, to pay for the bola, to fund the wedding, to get that first car. It allows us to create and move the economy along, and that creates success for us, our family, for the economy and for Africa. So like you said to your previous speaker, all these facts can in fact be fun and can be a powerful asset when credit is used responsibly.
100%. Let's talk about your latest report, which actually highlights that Gen Zs and millennials have led the growth as credit demand and supply continued during the last quarter of 2023. Contextualize this. Does this mean that we are swiping more credit cards, taking out more loans?
I think it means a lot of what you said, but I think it's probably important to probably make the point that it looks like the youth is making lots of the movements that we've seen. Mm-hmm. So this latest report, the TransUnion Industry Insights report for quarter four of last year, is super interesting. We saw an 11% overall growth in originations for credit products. That says that people are accessing loans in various categories from the lending economy, from the banks, from the non-bank lenders. And I think what's interesting to say is that there's a lot of patterns in the data we see. And I guess we've spoken a lot about a distressed economy and the high levels of interest rates. Mm. The first thing I can probably call out in Google answer is that people want access to liquidity. And we saw a lot of growth in personal loans, whether it's bank personal loans or non-bank personal loans, which is super interesting. And the second thing is we saw a massive surge in the growth for home loans, which is quite a difficult product to acquire when things are tough. But to then counter that by saying that more than 60% of all the origination came from this younger population. And as you rightly said, these millennials were born 1980 to 1984, and Gen Z came along from 1995 to 2010. So it's really interesting that if you look at the balance of the full range of generations, all the way to the silent generation or to the baby boomers just before then, they happen to be a lot more cautious in how they've approached this. But yes, something quite interesting in our pulse data of all the generations, Gen Z and the millennials have come across as the most positive given what they see. Now, we don't know Google Earth based on the data that you and I have, but their view is that almost 80% of Gen Z and millennials believe that these next 12 months are going to be better for them and for the economy. So it's really juxtaposed with a more cautious group across Gen X and baby boomers, with the youngsters saying, actually, things are about to turn.
That's so intriguing, especially in an election year. But I think it does speak to the optimism of youth, right? Because that's how we are, right, Lee? We look at things from as the glass half full. What I'm intrigued by, though, is also understanding the kind of products that we're accessing as millennials and Gen Zs and what that speaks to, because it obviously helps us understand what we're spending our money on.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's important to kind of recognize this point I made on liquidity. And we may just jump around the conversation. I did say that numbers is fun, and I think you'd agree with me.
Yes.
But probably the biggest products that Gen Z went after was our personal loan products, right? We saw a 49% growth in quarter four on bank personal loans and almost 47% in non-bank personal loans. And it's important for the audience to understand that we tend to go to personal loans when we want access to liquidity. These personal loans tend to come at a higher interest rate with a shorter payback period, but that gives you liquidity. And given the stubborn interest rate cycle that appears to be moving out as we talk over later, people need liquidity as other basket elements, food basket, insurance basket, vehicle ownership. Mm-hmm. They all appear to be going higher, and amidst this lower increase in salaries, we're already 4 months into the year, stubborn interest rate, we can probably see that these youngsters that really want to participate in the economy but are battling with accessing opportunities have gone for the personal loan product as the highest growth, almost 50% on the previous year for the same quarter.
Mm. I'm also intrigued, given that this is for the last quarter of the year, October to December, and the kind of credit that is being accessed. Is this also telling, or is it peculiar for that particular quarter of the year versus other months of the year? And I only ask this because, again, we head into the festive season. There's Black Friday, so strong activity in terms of retail, but also in terms of family responsibility. If you think about those who have results and school education to pay for in order to receive the educational results, or even contributions they have to make to their families when traveling back home from urban areas?
I think all of those answers are in fact correct in that personal loans and credit cards tend to give us liquidity that we need without having an asset to secure against. So that helps you think about what is needed, whether it's to commute, whether it was to just, you know, take a break from the reality of the first two quarters. All those things were apparent. What is markedly noticeable in quarter four is that the Gen Z and the millennials stayed away from, to a large extent, clothing account and retail accounts. So they're largely going after liquidity, which, as I mentioned earlier, allows you to live your life, pay for your consumables, pay for your food, pay for your mobility. But they stayed away from clothing accounts and any form of retail clothing or retail appliance. And that tells you that two things are happening. One, the liquidity is happening. But I must call out, Google Earth, that we saw a stark growth in home loans being extended to Gen Z. Now, that's worth a discussion in itself because almost all the other generations have kind of pulled back on taking on large, significant credit agreements, but the Gen Z grew almost 31% in home loans in quarter four.
That is intriguing and very telling, right? That we're actually using much of this credit to accumulate more assets, especially within the home loan dynamics.
Well, I must say something. You know, one of the big things that we work on, I've been at TransUnion for my 8th year, probably the biggest problem I've been looking to solve with our business here is financial inclusion. Mm. We have a continent that has some 500 million people that actually form the financial economy. I think South Africa specifically is at the forefront of starting to address exclusion. And I think cohort of the youngsters, the youth coming in, are starting to be included in the decisioning for accessing these products. We're starting to see that this group, this young group, are starting to get quite lucrative careers at the earliest phase as we have the advent of AI and digital technology. Mm-hmm. And actually, they are starting to be seen as people that can take on loans in the space. So maybe the loan extension amount will not be as big. But I think what is important here is in one part, there's a push on liquidity, which we always see at the end of the year. But it is quite remarkable that I think the youth that are generally a lot more conscious, they are pro-earth, they're less lavish, they want to think about, you know, their credit and their financial health. It is interesting to see that in one part, the youth want to access longer-term debt in getting a house to propel them into their livelihood. But equally so, it's worth applauding the broader industry that's starting to adopt advances in technology to see not just the youth for being young, but to the potential of the youth to drive the future of our economy and our economy growth.
Does this also speak to a heightened level of financial literacy within these generations?
Absolutely. You know, we've talked about this for many years, the fact that the Gen Z don't fit the profile of myself or yourself. They tend to show up differently. They tend to look for more balance in their job. They do tend to spend less. And in terms of the discretionary spending, we've seen a large cutback in this report. Some 50% are cutting back on discretionary spending. They're starting to spend across the line, which means that they're looking for better deals, right? Mm. And I think that talks to a country, Google Earth, that last had, you know, our rate was last changed in May 2023. Okay. It's almost a year later. I would argue there's a narrative that says that we've become used to living in a distressed and a tough economy. Therefore, the youth are leading the charge by making more prudent decisions.
Very true. So intriguing. And I'm keen to understand, you know, as we take a look at these figures for the fourth quarter, and as you've mentioned, there's a heightened level of optimism between Gen Zs and millennials for the remainder of the year. In light of the macroeconomic climate that we see here, Lee, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but interest rates are still expected to stay at an elevated level. Inflation is still dissipating slightly, but still slightly below 6%. We are seeing banks, you know, raise concerns about credit impairments.
Yes.
And that plays a very critical role. Yeah. How then are we seeing the balance of the discipline to manage this credit adequately? And the behavior is one thing. I guess accessing the credit is one thing, but it's the behavior post the access, right, that determines the financial health and vitality of these millennials and Gen Zs.
I think it's probably prudent to mention one data point that is one that compels this conversation to come to life. If you look at our quarter four data, we measured something called delinquency rate. That pretty much means that you are in arrears for 3 months or longer for a certain product type. And scarily enough, what we found is that in the home loans product line, there was a 140 basis point increase in delinquencies, whereas the other products had a decrease. Now, let me juxtapose these two. Mm-hmm. It's important to keep your credit card, your vehicle, your personal generally in good health to allow you to get more access to liquidity. Right. Mm. So if you want to get access to a loan or to drive your car, which can be easily taken back if you don't make your payment, I think people have understood that it's harder to maintain a bigger payment, which is typically your home loan and servicing that. So we've seen an increase in delinquency that tells us that people have been trying to figure out a way to survive in what you and I both agree is a tough economy, specifically with the slightly lesser increase in salaries and yet the concurrent increase in, for example, the cost of the food basket, right? Mm-hmm. It's forced them to make more prudent choices. And they typically lead with liquidity, personal loans, credit card, vehicle to get to your job and that. And the consequence is the pressure on the home loan products. Now, to answer your question about what do we think will happen? I think back in Q4, we did this survey. I do believe that the Gen Zs and millennials, like you and I, would have thought we could see an interest rate decrease starting as early as Q2. But given where we are, given where the U.S. Fed is, it's probably going to be closer to Q3 or Q4. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the challenge comes in. As the stress on these commodity or food baskets and vehicle maintenance baskets specifically come into play, we will see greater default, preferably in this home loans category. And what I do believe will happen, as it drags on for a bit longer, the lenders will consciously look and see how they handle their risk appetite, probably in two parts, Google Earth. They will turn the caps if they feel that delinquency is not coming into hand. Equally so, as part of the obligation under extending credit, not just by using credit report and credit data, but understanding the real risk, they will tighten the caps and limit the outstanding balance extension as well. I think we've gone through this cycle before. Mm-hmm. I think what's different about Q4 is that all of us ended the year with much optimism that 2024 before would be a whole lot better. And I think it has been better. But I think this cautious optimism in terms of interest rates, that cycle downturn will not start for at least a few more months yet. I think that pressure will have to be tempered, not just by consumers in being better consumers of credit, but the lending economy will step up and also tighten the belt if we as consumers don't behave. Mm-hmm. Remember, credit is powerful if we use it responsibly.
Oh, certainly. It certainly can be powerful if used responsibly. Lee, this has been such an intriguing conversation. It's making me monitor how my niece and nephew use their money, how I spend my money, how we monitor these different generations and how it is that they approach money and financial behavior. But most importantly, you've underscored an important point, financial inclusion. And financial inclusion is further highlighted by financial literacy. And that's what we're constantly working for all South Africans. And appreciate your efforts and your team, too, at TransUnion Africa in this regard. So thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Gublet. Have a wonderful evening.
Likewise. That's Lee Naik, the CEO of TransUnion Africa, helping us unpack the fourth quarter performance in 2024 of credit active growth, largely led by Gen Zs and millennials. So think about it this way. Anyone born in the 80s, right up to around the early 2000s, that would be millennial more in the 80s and Gen Zs, those born between 1996 as well as the early 2000s. So it's really quite a wide age gap in terms of maybe the age of 40 right down to 20, if we have to work on a scope and a gap. Those are individuals who are taking financial decisions, who are proving to be credit active and using their credit worthiness to access these tools. And one thing about credit, as we always say, it's not a bad thing. It can give you access to property, to assets and other opportunities that can enhance your income generating perspective. But it's how you manage your credit that does set you apart in terms of your flexibility, the sustainability and financial wealth and well-being.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.